This is Catherine. I'm in
Catherine.
Princeton, and I have, I think, a fairly basic question, but could really
Go
use some
it.
Help. Doing the integral mapping is fairly new to me, so I'm just, you know, really trying to, try them out in different situations and with different questions and in
Sure.
different moments. And it seems, and it's been... It's really wonderful. It's just really expansive, and I love the truth and what resonates up from it. But I find it seems like no matter, you know, whether it's dimensions or perspective, I keep coming up short on the lower right. And I'm wondering if I'm just not really understanding that quadrant, or if I have a block with that, or, I mean, it's not... I've used it in different situations, and it seems like it just that's the quadrant that's that I seem
to
have the
to
less
get.
Questions or the less a way to connect in and have it take me a little deeper. So I'm just
for
wondering
sure.
if you can give me a little help here.
Yeah, we can talk about that for sure. And let me say, you know, from the start, this is very common. I've taught. I don't even know how many hundreds of people this stuff over the years. And the lower right definitely is the one that comes up the most as being the most difficult to touch in with. Fortunately, I orient from the lower right quadrant. So I like to see my world through the lower right quadrant. So you'll get far more lower right quadrant than you've ever asked for or desired with me. But let's start.
Well, that's great.
Simple.
That's perfect.
Right, yeah, let's start simple with it. The lower right quadrant is tricky for two reasons, I think. One is that either it's so simple and mundane that we just don't bring awareness to it, or two, it's discussed or talked about or looked at in such big and complex ways that we can't wrap our head around it. And I'm not proposing we find some middle path. I don't even know what that would be. But let's just look at it from both those sides, and I think you'll start to get a better sense of it. So the quadrants are based, you know, off of, and apologize, you know, I want to do these questions, you know, individually. But I also will at times step back just to sort of account for anyone who's listening to these questions. So the quadrants are based off just two fundamental distinctions, right? That of interior and exterior, and sort of the litmus test. I like to call it the litmus test. Remember those from high school?
Yeah.
You put
yeah.
the little paper in the acid or the base, and it turns purple or whatever other color, telling you, are we interior, are we exterior? Okay, the litmus test, one of them, is can we see this thing? Can we observe it, this phenomena, whatever we're looking at? Does it have simple location is sort of more complex way of putting it. But can we see it? And that's how you know if you're on the right-hand or the left-hand quadrant. So this is the first step in sort of locating the lower right. So example, can you look out your window, and if you can't because you're not right living in a place like I'm living and will describe, just imagine you are. Can you look out your window and see a road? And if you can't, imagine you're at a place where you can't. Just look at that road. And just allow your awareness to consider, wow, that road is actually, you know, relatively complex system that interlinks with other roads and other parts of infrastructure in the town or the city where you live. And that the whole thing kind of hangs together, you know, to serve or facilitate sort of the movement forward of society. You know, to serve or facilitate certain needs that society has. Now, we can look out there and say, well, past is the limit, past. I can see that road. I mean, there it is, right there. Now, I don't need to see that entire system because you have faith. You know it exists. Just get in a helicopter and go up and you can see more of the system. But it's out there. So it's right-hand quadrant. Now, you could say that if that road is put together in a way, say it's a highway, where every day at 5 p.m. it just gets super congested with traffic. And then, you know, you've been in that traffic and you know that it produces a shared sense of frustration. You can just see it on the faces of the people as you drive by. You don't need to know those people. You don't need to talk to those people. You know, you don't need to have a relationship with those people. But you know that co-arising sort of with that state of the system, of that transportation system, that there's this shared feeling of frustration or annoyance or whatever it might be because of the traffic. That co-arises. Now point to that. You can't point to that shared feeling. It doesn't have a simple location. Now maybe you could point to frustrated, you know, expressions on someone's face, but that's behavior. You can't point to that interior frustration. Frustration doesn't have a location. So whether that experience of frustration is shared or not, it could just be your frustration, but it could be shared with everyone else on the road. It doesn't have a location. So to get yourself into the lower right, you first have to get into the right-hand quadrant and recognize that you're looking at exteriors. Then you make a choice between that second distinction that sort of gives us the quadrants, between individual and collective, or more simply, singular and plural. So are we talking about some simple singular aspect of the road outside my window, like, you know, it's 40 feet wide, it has the curb on either side, you know, there's a line painted down the middle, whatever, right? Whatever it is. Those are simple, singular aspects of just that sort of physical world outside my window. I also could describe collective aspects of it. Now, again, I might not be able to see all of these, but I know they're there. I know that road connects to this other road, and that road's like a main thoroughfare, and it's got lights, and it sort of leads to this highway, which takes you to Denver, etc. And I can sort of bring into my awareness all these collective aspects of how this little road right outside my window connects to this much larger system. And then I can say, oh, isn't it interesting, you know, how businesses have set themselves up along this road, and that's changed where folks have built houses. And it changes, you know, the dynamics of where schools get placed. And then we could just go on and on and on and on, right? Those are sort of the mundane examples of the lower right. Frankly, because we don't typically leave our house in the morning, drive to work, and bring our awareness to those types of things. But we can. And when we do, what we're encountering is just that simpler, I should say. I'm not trying to make this sound like it's easy. It's that simpler lower right dimension, just in the way that it's showing up and arising right now. One more example on the simple mundane side. and I like to go for sort of like obvious, funny examples, but these are real legitimate. This is the lower right dimension. All of us on the call decided that we would, because we got some emails and whatnot, pick up the phone and dial a certain set of numbers at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, or whatever that translates to in your time zone. And we decided that we would do that at that time, and that once we got connected to the call, that we were going to hold our phones in such a way that our ear was near the speaker and our mouth is closer to the microphone. Now, who here decided to reverse that? You know, no one, because that's not how we use a phone. And we all know that. And we've learned that as a behavior. And we want to serve some larger aims here. I don't know, we want education, we want community, we want shared discourse. And we know, without even bringing our awareness to it for a second, that we have to engage in a set of similar shared behaviors in order to make that other stuff happen, to make it possible. I mean, if I was here with my phone upside down, you know, pressing the microphone into my ear, you guys wouldn't be able to hear me. How long would I have to do that before y'all noticed it? something's off. I'm hearing a muffled voice, but I'm hearing like static and whatever. So that's a lower right example that's so mundane we don't recognize that dimension until something's gone wrong. It's silly, it's stupid, it's whatever. But think about it. If I flip my phone around and talk for an hour, you know, thinking, woo, here we are doing our call, this is so much fun, like that wouldn't work. And that's what we call, you know, the validity claim, functional fit. It doesn't functionally fit. That's how simple it is to violate that validity claim. Just flip your phone up and down. So when I'm in a workshop, you know, I'll often do a little experiment to point this out to people. So, you know, we arrange the chairs like, you know, in every other workshop you've been to, there's a, you know, rows of chairs and they're facing forward or a big circle or whatever. And I'll walk to the front of the room and I'll take my chair and I'll turn it around and I'll face the wall. So I'm facing the same way the participants are facing. And I'll just start talking without looking at anybody, right? Until it just gets awkward and weird, right? Then we notice it. That's when we notice the lower right, because my behavior, like we all know the rules here. And literally when I say rules, I mean rules. I mean rules of social interaction. That if I pay money to come to this damn seminar, you better turn around and face me and talk to me. You know, that's sort of what the unwritten rules are. And they are unwritten in that sense. But they manifest in our shared behavior. And when there's a breakdown there, that's when we start to notice. So if I were to do that, either the phone flipping or the face in the front of the room, that's when all of a sudden, now you might not see it as such, but there's your lower right there.
So,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, so if there's some of the questions that I've asked are very personal questions, and I think that's where I'm having the hard leap.
So good. Let's see, go, you know, like share one of them because that's the complex side.
The recent one was how do I deepen my meditation practice? Okay. How do I deepen my practice? And it seems like, you know, all the way around the good, you know, I could find these fits. I guess it's when it's taking the leap into the collective, but more so the, you know, that lower right. So
So starting with the this is one of those more complex examples because, you know, it's just there's a lot wrapped up in it. It doesn't have to be big and complex like how do we solve global warming. Now that we can approach to the lower right and we can talk about economic incentives and political system interconnections and, right, we can go all into that for hours and hours and hours. That's really complex. No, so is this, though. This is complex because it's about you in your life and not some isolated, silly example of, like, you know, flipping the phone upside down. So if we just look at these same dynamics that we just revealed in these mundane examples, shared behavior, okay? One thing you'd recognize is a simple question. So you look through the lower right perspective at this inquiry, I want to deepen my meditation practice. So the question would be, what is the effect that actually meditating with a group of people, what does that have for you? And if you don't know the answer, go check it out. And you'll get a sense of that answer. And for most people, it's either, no difference, or wow, totally different. I need to meditate with other people, or I'm just not going to one of two things, stick with it just because there's this like social pressure piece to it, or I don't feel the energy, because there actually are energetic lower right aspects of being meditating in a group of people. It's a field effect, and it's actually been researched extensively, even with meditators. So that's lower right. So the question for you would be, where's that land for you? And you ask that question by looking through the lower right perspective. You know, you explore it by exploring the lower right dimension. If you don't know the answer for yourself, you know, try it out. And that'll be fleshing out the sort of lower right aspect of it.
At this moment, I think on the what I've learned the first two times is that is my leap right now, is to help myself, you know, to be able to take on the more collective perspective. You know, I think that's my area of I think growth for the moment.
Well, and rightly so. I mean, that's, you know, just the phrasing you have there. You're bringing up lower left and lower right, which is fine because that's where the collective is. And you can't go to a meditation group without getting, you know, the lower left and the lower right.
Yeah.
I mean, just clearly that's just simply the case. So you can never just go, you know, check it out and see if, you know, the field effect is beneficial to you. But you can isolate your view of it, your perspectives on it. So you can say, you know, I like this whole having a schedule where I know other people are meditating, and it's just, it kind of keeps me to it, you know, commit, it helps me commit more. But I don't like, you know, the people. I don't like their values. I don't like talking to them. I'm just not resonating. I'm not feeling it. Well, okay, then that's running up against the lower left, and they co-arise. So it's never just in isolation, but you can explore them in isolation. So what I would say to that would be, well, if you like the lower right support of meditating at the same time with a group of people, maybe you need to start a meditation group with just three friends. And I guarantee, you know, if you're with that person who's affected by these social pressures, and a lot of us are, you know, you're going to meditate more regularly if you know that your two other friends are showing up to do it with you. Or maybe you're not that type of person. And if you're not, well, there's still other lower right aspects. The next question would be schedule. What is your daily schedule like? And the one thing I certainly have learned from all the meditation teachers I've studied with is the deep in that meditation practice, you got to meditate. So at that point, it's just a matter of, do you literally have the 15, 30 minutes, whatever it is, a day to do it? And if not, what do you got to change around? And how are you going to change it? That's lower right aspects as well. Because
so, looking so at schedule would be one of these kind of, what are you calling them? Just these hidden or unwritten rules or this scheduling? I mean,
It's operating sort of in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
Until
okay.
you bring it to the forefront.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I think I'm having a hard time seeing those right now. What are?
That's fine. No, that's like I said, that's very common. You know, and what people do with it is like, you know, you kind of got your schedule, and I'm assuming your life is working enough. Like you made it to the call. You know, like you're not just, you know, flying by the seat of your pants doing whatever comes up in the next moment. So the question then becomes like, some people can get by. Like, you know, I'll meditate today. If I'm not feeling it tomorrow, I won't. And, you know, maybe I'll do it in the morning. Maybe I'll do it in the evening. That can work for some people. Then, you know, if you still want to explore the lower right, you'd move on to another inquiry. But maybe you're the type of person who, at least for a while, you know, might need to figure out how to commit to 30 minutes at the same time every morning before you, you know, check your email. It's a good one. You can't get on the email until you have set aside time to meditate. That structure, making it explicit, and again, this is looking through the lower right at a lower right aspect or a dimension, can possibly have an effect on deepening your meditation practice, or it might not. But that's how you would go into it, you know, with the sort of awareness going to the lower left, lower right.
Well, that's all very helpful. Thank you. I really appreciate that.